2 weeks in a row with a blessing. This week I will not be reading three chapters from the Old Testament. That was quite a mouthful, I must admit. But I would like to follow up in 1 Kings chapter 19. We'll be reading from there until the end of the Bible. We ought to be done by 1:30. 1 Kings chapter 19. We read quite a record last week of an individual by the name of Elijah, and quite a record of the different things that he went through, some confrontations that he went through with the prophets of Baal, Jezebel, Ahab, this sort of thing. But the thing I really wanted to focus on, and did focus on at the end of that teaching, what you can find in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11. Elijah was kind of at the end of his rope. He got fairly depressed. He said, I'm done. This is it. It's over. And God said, I don't think so. And so he sent an angel, and some various things happened, which you can read about. And then there's this record in 19:11. He said, go forth, stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and a strong wind rent the mountains and break the pieces in rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was, what? Not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was, what? Not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was, what? Not in the fire. But after the fire was, what? A still small voice. Look in Mark chapter 4, if you would, please. It's a wonderful record of our Lord Jesus Christ in sort of a dicey situation, if the apostles were to give the narrative, I think, of that. However, we find Jesus in a completely different place. Mark 4, verse 35. And the same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, let's go over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was taking on water, possibly even sinking, going down. It says it was full. And believe it or not, the Lord Jesus Christ was in the hinder part, the rear part of the ship, I'm assuming, very interestingly enough, asleep in the middle of this huge storm that caused the disciples a little bit of stress in their own minds. And so they went back there and they woke him up and they said, don't you care that this could potentially kill us? This could be the end of our lives, Lord. Help! We need something. It says he got up. He did something very simply. He said, it says he rebuked the wind and he said to the sea. This is Jesus, who has a history of speaking to inanimate objects. You remember he spoke also to a tree and he said, no man eat fruit thereof hereafter. Now he's speaking to a tree, to the sea. And he speaks to the sea, and what does he say? Peace be what? Still. Peace, be still. Fascinating. I look at this spiritually thinking, there are storms in our life. There are things that are going on in our lives that are robbing our peace day after day after day. And what is our response? Oh, well, that's just the way the world is. Christians will be persecuted, you know. Bible says so. But do we have to allow the storms of life to control the way we're going to respond in life's daily situations? Oh, yes, there will be storms in life. But how do we manage the storms in life? I printed some lyrics to a song by a group, Christian group by the name of Selah. Some of you may have heard them. Heard of them in the past. It's really wonderful. I've asked Fred if we could play this song briefly The song is called Be Still, and they've given you the lyrics. You can follow along, because sometimes it's a little hard to hear exactly what the words are saying. So go ahead, Fred.
It's so loud, I just can't seem to slow this down. I need you more than ever now. Let the silence be the only sound. Your glory becomes the only thing I see. Your beauty brings me to my knees. The awe that you inspire in me makes me wanna be still. So still you can hear me breathing in. So still you can hear me breathing in. Let your calm descend upon me now. So now I stand before you broken. This holy ground, I can feel your presence all around. Makes me wanna be still. So still.
Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. Seems to be a direct correlation between us having the ability to be still and our ability to hear from God. There's a lot of loudness in the world. There's a lot of things going on all around us, distractions, things that would cause us to be something other than really still. But yet, God communicates to Elijah how? In what? A still, small voice. Here, God says be still and know that I am God. Look in Psalm chapter 4. It's a beautiful subject because I think it's something that practically all of us are challenged with at different times because of just the nature of life. That it's very difficult to get quiet. There's always something going on. The traffic. That's why I closed that window. It was disturbing my ability to really just stay a little quieter. Psalm 4, verse 4 says, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and what? Be still. Be still. Selah. Think about it. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness. Put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. Verse 8, I will both lay me down in what? Peace. Oh, nothing like being able to lay down at the end of a day with peace in your heart. Not because of what you've done, but because of what has been done for you. That there's a real calm, a real stillness, a real peace. See. For thou, Lord, only makes me to dwell in safety. And in Psalm 23, one of my favorite psalms in the Psalms, verse 2, speaking of God as being the shepherd, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the what? Still waters. In your center margin, possibly in your King James Version, it says waters of quietness. That's what it says in mine if you have a center margin. Another version says, you lead me to streams of peaceful waters. It's a beautiful thing to know that God is leading us to those places of stillness because that is where God wants to commune with us. God wants to have this intimate fellowship with us, but we have to really be in a place where we're quiet enough to hear from God. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the challenge of our times. To slow down long enough to get quiet enough on the inside so that there truly is a stillness. So that when God has something he wants to really reveal to us and show to us, you have your spiritual ears on to the point that you can hear it beyond the distractions. When I read these verses, I think about how Jesus Christ must have really trained himself to be quiet. There are a multitude of records in the Gospels that show Jesus in these situations where he goes in, there's people with spirits, there's boys wallowing around, flopping all over the place, having epileptic seizures. What did Jesus do? Had a conversation with the Father. This is going on right here. Okay, right down here. Can you imagine somebody flopping down around here having an epileptic seizure? And Mike Baglieri and I are having a conversation about it. This is the record of how Jesus responded in that situation. How about the man in the tombs? This guy was a freak. He was like your worst homeless person that you've ever seen, but he was like cutting himself and he was running around naked. Oh my God, we'd have a time with that, wouldn't we? Huh? What did Jesus do? He stayed peaceful enough in his heart that he could really go to God and ask God and get information from God about what to do in this situation. It's a great teaching example. God's desire is to lead us to those streams of quietness. See, we have a great challenge set before us. To follow that lead so that we get to those waters of quietness so that when the word says, be still and know that I am God, we can say, yes, I understand that. You know, this is a record about sheep. Really, that's what the analogy is being made here. Verse 1, it says, the Lord is my what? My shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. And reading just a brief excerpt from a book that we have sold and possibly still sell in the bookstore called Psalm 23, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. This is a life-changing book for me. Just to quote briefly, he says, most people are not aware that sheep can go for months on end, especially if the weather is not too hot, without actually drinking. If there's heavy dew on the grass each morning, sheep by habit rise just before dawn and they start to feed. Or if there's bright moonlight, they will graze at night. The early hours are when the vegetation is drenched with dew and sheep can keep fit on the amount of water taken in with their forage when they graze just before and after dawn. Isn't that interesting? In the Christian life, it is of more than passing significance to observe that those who are often the most serene, most confident, and able to cope with life's complexities are those who rise early each day to feed on God's Word. It is in the quiet, early hours of the morning that they are led beside the quiet, still waters where they imbibe the very life of Christ for the day. This is much more than mere figure of speech. It is practical reality. The biographies of great men and women of God repeatedly point out how the secret of the success in their spiritual life was attributed to the quiet time of each morning. There alone, still, waiting for the Master's voice, one is led gently to the place where the old hymn puts it, the still dews of his spirit can be dropped into my life and soul. One comes away from these hours of meditation, reflection, and communion with Christ, refreshed in mind and spirit. The thirst is slacked, and the heart is quietly satisfied. Not something? Great lesson. Look at Mark 1:35, please. Some of the other translations may do this more justice. Mark 1:35. You know, and I figure if Jesus did it, maybe it'd be a good idea for us to think about doing it. This is what it says. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he departed out into a solitary place, and there he did what? Listened to music? Ran? Worked out? Went to the gym? Nothing wrong with those things, see? But sometimes those things end up even actually taking place and robbing us from an opportunity to just spend time with God. They really do, see? So it's kind of learning wisdom in all of this. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day. What does that mean, a great while before day? Well, of course, that was Jesus, you know? I mean, he had a big ministry, a lot of things to accomplish, you know? Well, I think other translations talk about before sunrise. See, the culture in the Middle East was more of an agricultural type culture. They didn't have electricity, all the different distractions and technology, obviously. So you know what the tendency was? It happened in the Midwest, probably still happens at certain places around our country today. When it gets dark, people go to bed. They don't stay up forever and ever because there weren't all these things for them to do. They worked hard during the day. When it got dark, all of a sudden their eyes started to, you know, and mine do that now. You know. And then in the morning, they would be rising up at sunrise, right? Or before sunrise. A lot of times chores and that sort of thing had to be done well before sunrise. And for any of you who ever had friends as farmers, or you lived on a farm, or you grew up on a farm, you know exactly what I'm talking about, because there are chores that have to be done before you even think about having breakfast, see? But we live in a different culture, a different world. And so to rise up early, a great while before day, and prepare oneself spiritually for the events ahead, that's kind of like a foreign concept. See? But yet, here's Jesus doing it. And you will read other records. We're not going to them right this morning. Anytime before he made a major decision, actually before he chose the apostles, the disciples, he says he was up all night in prayer. See? He just didn't like, you know, throw in a couple of last-minute prayers and then bam, you know, right there. Since he really developed and cultivated the relationship. That's where God wants to lead us. That's where God's trying to get us. That's where that little urge on the inside of you is. See, really something. Because, see, we all need it. You need to be refreshed. You need to be calmed down. You need to have that stillness. Or you know what? You're going to burn out. What is keeping you going then? The joy of everybody patting you on the back for what a great person you are? See, what happens is people end up putting their identity in other things. So all of a sudden, it's not really in their relationship with God. Now it's in their work. Because that's really where I find my greatest satisfaction, my greatest reward. See? Or it's in something else. You know why we do what we do? Because God tells us that's the way it's going to be done for our greatest blessing. Not because we're being all religious about it. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man, right? And woman. We need this refreshing, this calm, this stillness. Why? To be able to be nourished and to really to be prepared to live beautifully and graciously in this world that is just so hard, see, that we can just walk very lovingly, graciously, beautifully, and bring this fragrance of Christ wherever we go, see? Because you know what? When we're in God's presence, that's where fullness of joy is. Well, when's the best time to get into that presence? First thing in the day. You're in that presence. You stay in that presence. You get shielded from a lot of these things that could be hurtful and harmful to you. See? I love that. To be able to live beautifully and graciously in this world. And you know what we get the joy and privilege of doing? We get to lead others to still waters. So that they too can be free of anxiety, free of worry, that is the constant plague of mankind. But what's the key? The key is in knowing the Prince of Peace, who resolves those issues permanently. See? Many of us, many years ago, were involved in something where a claim was made that this will help you to overcome fear and worry in your life. Familiar with that? Color was green. Little card, 3x5. This will help you to overcome worry and fear in your life, or anxiety, or whatever it was. I'm here to tell you today that what that did is brought me to a greater and fuller understanding and knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. See? Who God is, what God's desires for me are. I want to look at Matthew chapter 11. He leads me besides the still waters. Matthew chapter 11. There's a wonderful one-line statement that says the greatest cargoes in life come in over what kind of seas? Quiet seas. The greatest cargoes in life come in over quiet seas, folks. And it's not that hard to get there. Actually, God is leading us to those waters of quietness. See, we just have to allow Him to work within us in getting us there and work jointly in partnership. Because if God is leading us, but we're resisting, we're bucking like a mule, you know, pulling at the rope, well, God's not going to drag you to the calm water. Because God's got a little thing going on that He created and put in man called your free will. And if you choose not to be led, well then, God can't drag you to calm water. Well, that brings up another one-liner, doesn't it? You can bring a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. How about that? You ever heard that? See? How about just being open to God and saying, yes, I want to be brought to that place of still, quiet water. That's all God waits for. Here am I, send me. Yes, yes, I'll do it. Isn't that exactly what Jesus did? Not my will, but thy will be done. He totally threw out selfishness. And he replaced it with what I would call selflessness. See, he saw the big picture. Matthew chapter 11. This is what the promise of the word is. Matthew 11, 28. And see if something you find attractive, or something maybe you would be able to share with another person that you may know, a fellow student, a neighbor, someone that you come in contact with, or maybe a complete stranger. This is what Jesus says. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find what? Rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy. My burden, light. God doesn't have to drag us along the way, kicking and screaming stubbornly all the way. No, 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 I don't want to do. When the very thing God is leading us towards is the very thing we want. But see, it's the tendency of the old nature just to stubbornly rebel and just pull back. But when we make up our mind to be obediently loving, then God can really work with us and help us to getting us to that point. Every day, we wake up, we say, yes. Teach me, Lord. Show me thy ways. Show me thy ways, Father. Oh, you ever look in the book of Psalm, like in Psalm 25, where those words are in there? Psalm 119, almost every verse, David's heart is like, guide me, God. Lead me, God. Teach me, God. Help me, God. Work with me, God. See, those prayers, that heart cry doesn't fall on deaf ears. Jesus says, you come unto me, all you that labor are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, it's with this knowledge, and with this great calm and this great stillness and this great peace that we have in our lives, that we can just beautifully and graciously acknowledge the goodness of God. And we really can be joyful living our lives. Life is not supposed to be like, bleh. Life is supposed to be like full of blessings, goodness, joyfulness, laughter, merry heart. See? And it doesn't have to be artificially imposed by things out there in the world that sometimes make people happier than they normally would be on their own. It says God is the fountain. There's a lot of things that would work in this world to try to rob you of your joy. Don't let it happen. You exercise your free will. Do like Jesus did. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he departed out into a solitary place, and there he prayed. He opened his heart with God and just, show me a way, Father. Show me the way. See, then when openings come before us to introduce others, it really will be good news. It won't be a drudgery trying to win others to the Word. It'll be really be a blessing to be able to introduce other people to the knowledge of a good God. One who has their best interest in mind. One who wants peace for them, wants good for them, wants blessings for them. That's the greater vision. The greater vision of our lives is just not me trying to get somewhere in my life. You get to a point where you understand more of the Word. Well, this is my perspective on it. The more you know of the Word, the more loving you will become. Because if you're knowing the Word, you're getting to know God more intimately, and God is love. See? So, I think it was something that said there about you shall know them by their fruit. One of the great fruits in life is how we live. Graciously, wonderfully, beautifully. If we know God, it says in 1 John, then we will love like God. And you know God loves unconditionally? You know what that means? That he doesn't judge. He doesn't hold things against people. He looks at people in spite of themselves, in spite of their failures, in spite of their weaknesses, in spite of their illnesses, sicknesses, a zillion other things. God's perspective of love is not even conditioned by what you do or don't do. That's pure. That's pure. See. And yet that is one of the things that seems to be the hardest to get across to Christian people, is that God really loves them. Because we'll search and search and search and search and try to do all these other things to try to get a good feeling, when the reality is God loves you. God loves you just the way you are. Just accept it. Take it. Say yes. Then when you look at these sections in the Scriptures, like in Psalm 23, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters, the peaceful waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, fear no evil. For you're with me, God. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. And here is the closing scripture and the closing thought for today. This is the will of God. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, shall follow you all the days of your life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God is trying to get good into our lives. God is trying to get blessings into our lives. We just have to be in a place to be able to hear from God, to be able to receive those things. God knows what he's doing. Be still and know that I am God. God wasn't in the big hoopla, the earthquakes, the fires, all that. Still small voice. There must be a benefit about calming down, being quiet, being in that intimate place, being in that secret place, being in those green pastures. Really some good things to think about, I think, and to put ourselves in that environment. See. And remember, the greatest cargoes in life coming over quiet seas. Okay, Father, thank you for this word. For your loving grace, Father, and the greatest gift you ever gave, the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't deserve it. You know, by our actions, our thoughts, our behaviors, Father, we ought to just be blotted off the face of the earth probably. But you know what? Your unconditional love, everything else that you've given to us, just so graciously and wonderfully, Father, it's just your mercy that we get to live joyfully and in this great place, live in love with fellowship with other believers and with you. And Father, in our hearts, I want to say yes. I want to say yes to you, Father, that you will lead me to those paths that go right down to the quiet waters so that I am still and calm and quiet in a multitude of situations that would attempt to get me all worked up and fired up and worried, and just to fellowship with you, Father, and to stay in contact and to know that you're there in every given situation. And Father, that we can live in a realm above and beyond the standard of this world. Thank you for those peaceful, quiet seas, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. God bless.